The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience, it's Dr. Dave's. Did I say doctor? Yes, you did. Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but the Bible teaches in Ecclesiastes 3:4, there's a time to laugh. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Yay! Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use. Probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? I counter that with another brilliant question. Why not? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Boy, that's a lot of milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk truth with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there. Here you go. Here's a fun question, but don't get mean on it. It's still fun, but don't be a meanie about it. Here it is. What is your least favorite thing to eat at a potluck? That's right. Last week, we did your favorite thing at a potluck. What's your least favorite thing to eat at a potluck? Be honest. There you go. Hey, if you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We consider that to be sad, very sad. All you got to do is reach out and give us a call. What you do is you call, it's a phone, and you use these numbers, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is the feeling you get that you have done your very best.
Thank you, David. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to you, my friend. I will inform you that I lifted too many boxes yesterday, and with my knee, that was dumb, and my wife is not telling me I'm dumb, but let's just say she's not telling me I'm smart. Somewhere in between dumb and smart is where it exists.
She's not saying it, but you know.
That's right. We know what's going on. By the way, I do want to welcome Dave McKenna, who's listening for the first time to the show. He is our future landlord. So for those of you that do not know Dave, because you don't know Dave, you need to be praying for him and his wonderful wife as they are going to be putting up with Noelle and I and, of course, Bert. So don't forget to be praying for them, that the Lord will bless them and guide them, and that we'll have a great relationship together. We hope for many years to come as we lift them up before the Lord. So if you want to reach out to us, don't hesitate. You can call us at the 972-445-0770 phone number. Also, you can text us. Yeah, live during the show. So listen, if you're in San Diego, it's 11:35. If you're in Denver, it's 12:35. If you're in Dallas, it's 1:35. If you're in Detroit, it's 2:35. If you're on the moon, I don't know what time it is. I don't know where you are on the moon. Here it is. You can text us 214 214-210-8483. That's the number for the show to text, 214-210-8483. Non-professional voice coming now.
214-210-8483.
That's for people that need it slow and soft. There you go. Additionally, during the show, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. David, you know how to spell David, @hemustincrease, all one word, hemustincrease.org. So you can either reach out to us by phone, the telly, you can send us a text, again, the telly, or you can send us an email. Any of those will work. Please keep us in prayer as Noelle has finished her time at Tom Thumb at that particular store. She is now home, praise the Lord, and now she's working towards getting the house all geared up for the move. Plus, while that's taking place, gearing up also for her next adventure in the company doing floral design, which is her absolute favorite thing in the world. So Dave is very happy about that. I just wanted to let you know. That's Dave as in me, Dave. I am very happy about that. All right, so we've got a lot of stuff going on. I want to let you know if you have a prayer request. That means you've got something going on, and man, I need prayer for this, Dave. I don't know. I'm not getting as far as I'd like to, or I'm really struggling in this one area, or I just don't know what direction to go. The scriptures are clear. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without finding fault. And so we do that. We ask the Lord for help. We don't tell the Lord what to do. We ask the Lord what to do. We pray in the same model that Jesus showed in the Garden of Gethsemane. We pray and we say, look, I'd love this to take place, this to take place. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. But we also do it with faith and great expectation because God is a giver. He's not the Grinch. You don't have to snatch the pebble out of his hand. You ask. Jesus made it clear in Matthew 7:7. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened. These are the things that we need to be engaging with the Lord in. That's why I wrote the book about faith. The faith that pleases God, because God loves that. So when you're praying, you do that. Now, not just a prayer request, but praise reports. Praise reports are so cool. Here's why praise reports are cool. Let me explain this, okay? Because some people think, well, I'll share a praise report as soon as the Lord opens the Red Sea. Not every praise report is the opening of the Red Sea and crossing on dry land. Some of that is just, I prayed that this trip would be peaceful. It was. It worked out great. By grace. That is a praise report. And when you share that, it blesses, listen to this, it blesses you because it reinforces it in your own life. It blesses other believers. And the reason it blesses other believers is because they hear God is active. And it brings honor and glory to the Lord. So it's like, those are all three great things. So if you've got a prayer request, if you've got a praise report, if you've got something you want to share, the idea in this show, and most people know it, Hebrews 10:25, encourage one another as you see the day of the Lord getting closer and closer. And man, is it getting closer and closer. And so here's what we know. Let's encourage one another. Let's strengthen one another. We support all these shows that give you a little bit of different way to go about things. But in this show, we take this hour and a half and we say, let's get closer to the Lord, because you want to hear something that most people don't want to hear? The answer to everything is more of God. You're telling me, Dave, the answer to this country is more of God? Absolutely. The answer to the problem with hunger is more of God? Absolutely. The answer about all the violence is more of God? Absolutely. That is what I'm telling you. And oh, by the way, prayer does these weird things like stops the earth's rotation and resurrects the dead. So yeah, we'll go with that. And by the way, Jesus said to do it. Oh, okay. Well, that's a really good one. All right. So I'm glad that Dave was able to join us. He sent me out a shout out. Just letting Dave know I got it on the new number. That's the number for the show, Dave. Just remember that. When we talk about rent, it's the other number. All right. Let's get into the text that we're going to get into. And for those that do not know, we are in Psalms. And we are at Psalm chapter 50 and verse 17. Now, there's no point in getting mad at me. We're just going through it verse by verse, as best we can. As most of you know, we've been in the Psalms at this point for almost a year, and we are at Psalm 50. That's pretty good. But we pick it apart piece by piece, and we do not apologize for the Word of God, because here's the big thing we live by. If God created the universe, the dude can write a book. Okay? I mean, that's not That's not even theology 101. That's common sense. See, it's 2 plus 2 is 4. The problem is people say, well, that's only if that 1, 2 really feels like a 2. No. 2 plus 2 is 4, and God created the universe. The dude can write a book. Okay, let's just leave that there. Okay, great. All right, let's pick it up at Psalm chapter 50, and we're picking it up at verse 17, kind of doing a little bit of a runway maybe from verse 16. It says this, but to the wicked, God says, what right do you have to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing that you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have kept silent. You thought I was altogether with you, but I will rebuke you and set in order before your eyes. Listen to this. Wow! When David's writing a psalm, man, you just get into it. It's like, wow, what is going on? What is taking place? And David's like, okay, let's get this going. So here's what I want to make sure you catch. And he's not, there's nobody trying to be, oh, Dave, you're trying to be mean. Of course I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just reading the text, and here's what the text means. When it's talking about Psalm 50, verse 17, the Lord refers to the wicked who despises his destruction, his instruction. They despise it when the Lord instructs them. They despise it, and they disregard his word. And as we recall from 2 weeks ago, God expresses his displeasure with those who misuse his word without having a genuine connection to him. In fact, this is particularly true for political leaders and false teachers who use God's word for their own nefarious ends, no matter what their background is and no matter what their political affiliation is. Anybody who uses God's word for their own personal ends is considered by God to be wicked. People, now this is, by the way, the height of using the Lord's name in vain. Most people think it's cursing. No. I know you think that, and I appreciate that, and you grew up with that, and most people told you that. But that's not what it meant in the Old Testament. It's not what it meant in the New Testament. It's not what it means now. It's people who use the name of God to accomplish tasks that are apart from God. That is the ultimate definition of using the Lord's name in vain. And what these people do is they do it for their own furtherance, their own blessings, so to speak, their own agenda. And God doesn't like it. I don't want to be mean about it, so I'm trying to say it as nice as possible, but here's the truth. This is displeasurable to the Lord, using his word without having a genuine connection to him. Which is why it's hilarious when people in the media try to quote bits and pieces of what Jesus said and then try and make it like they know Jesus, though they wouldn't know Jesus from a hole in the ground or a brown paper bag. And it's just like, that's ridiculous. And these are the same people that try to use Matthew 7 where Jesus said, judge not. And they don't read the rest of the verses. They just say, judge not. Jesus said, judge not. If you read everything he said in Matthew 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you find out that Jesus is condemning hypocritical judgment. And there are 8 other spots in the New Testament where Christians are commanded to judge. But what people like to do is use bits and pieces because it helps their agenda. God don't like that. The Lord's up there going, oh, no. So then the Lord, he further notes that these people are using their speech for evil and for deceit. They would even betray their own family members in pursuit of wealth or success or power or whatever. This is a reference to those people who would go to the extent of betraying their own mother just to make a deal. And these are the people that lack integrity. So here's the big key. So you're hearing all that, and you're like, wow, that's a lot of deep stuff, and that's tough, yeah. But here's what I want you to know as believers. I want you to understand this. The Lord makes it absolutely clear. When he says in verse 20, you sit and speak against your brother, you slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have kept silent. You thought I was altogether with you. The Lord responds. He explains his silence should not be mistaken for approval. What? You mean because the Lord didn't say anything at the moment? That doesn't mean he approves? Correct. If God expressed his disapproval at the moment and everything that was disapprovable about or disapprovable, the entire planet would have been exterminated 15 million times. I mean, come on. The Lord is explaining that his silence in the situation is not approval. In law, by the way, when a question is asked by a lawyer to a defendant and the defendant is silent, in law, it is often thought that that means that is consent to what has been spoken. That is not the case with God. They are mistaken if they believe that God is on their side. And ironically, they have so distorted the image of God into something perverse, they assume this distorted image of God is really how he is. But the Lord refutes this, stating that he will rebuke them and they will face the consequences in God's timing and in God's method. That does not mean that we do the work for God in this case. The Lord is the ultimate judge, the only one truly able to judge all things. Why? Because he knows all things, so he's the only one that can judge at every angle, and his judgments are perfect and pure, and they are going to come down when the time has been reached. What's cool is what's coming after this for us who are Bible-believing, born-again followers. Christians who follow Jesus Christ. We'll get to that in a second, but in the meantime, take a deep breath. Oh, gosh, Dave, that was so, like, tough. Well, I'm glad you don't have itching ears. That makes me feel better. Here you go on your first trivia question. Who is this person in the Bible? Here's your Bible trivia question. I was the brother of John, and King Herod had me killed. Am I? Am I Peter, James, or Philip? Your biblical reference, Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. I was the brother of John. King Herod had me killed. Who am I? Am I Peter, James, or am I Philip? Acts chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. If you think you know the answer, you're welcome to call into the studio, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Now I'm going to send you up to the website, as we often do at this particular time, and remind you that there are many things up on the website, including the new book, The Faith That Pleases God. Here's the bottom line. It is $2.99, I think, for the electronic copy, $6.99 for the print copy, and then $4.99 or $4.95 for the audio. We make 97 cents a book. We didn't write the book to make money. We wrote the book to help people draw closer to the Lord. That's the goal. So if you want to get the book, great. If you do want to get the book but you can't afford it, tell us and we'll get it for you and make sure you have a copy. In the meantime, check out access to 4,500 hours of podcasts that we have, audio casts. And then in addition to that, there's a place to give, and we encourage people to do that because we can't do the radio ministry without that. That's why we're a nonprofit entity. We're not going to send you a whistle or a donut or a Lamborghini. We'll send you a receipt at the end of the year. But if you give, give it unto the Lord the way the Lord intends you to. Here's the passage we're using for today, Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. That's a promise from the Lord. Check it all out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HemosIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HemosIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HemosIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HemosIncrease.org.
HemosIncrease.org!
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Hey, you know what I'm going to say in about 2 weeks? Hey, Toto, I have a feeling I'm not in fate anymore. Get it? I'll be in Den. See you over there. Okay. All right. that's pretty funny, isn't it? All right, folks, here's your trivia question. We got a lot going on, and we don't want to miss anything. I do want to pray for people in some of their struggles, again, for the corporate people, but let's do this real quickly. Who is this person in the kingdom of God? I was the brother of John. King Herod had me killed. Who am I? Am I Peter? Am I James, or am I Philip? For a reference point, Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 2, and just so you can be aware, you can call 972-445-0770. You know, so text 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. So that's available. If nobody calls in, we will hope that the pink ping pong ball will make its way to the window.
I have it ready.
All right. And then I will therefore remember to tell you what the answer is on the trivia question. In the meantime, I'm just having fun diving into the Word of God. I just love the Word. You should love the Word. The Word is alive. It's living. I mean, just think of this. What was it that went into Adam that gave him life, where God used the dust, not the dirt, the dust, and he breathed into it, and Adam became alive. And what is it in 2 Timothy 3:16? All scripture is God-breathed. Same breath that went into Adam went into the Word. What? All right, now. Now, let's just finish the rest of this verse off and make it very simple. When the Lord said, "These things you have done, and I kept silent, you thought that I was altogether like you, but I'll rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes." Verse 22 of Psalm 50. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver you. Verse 23. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct upright, I will show the salvation of God. You know, in these Psalms, there's just always this awesomeness that just emerges. And here is the awesomeness that emerges. Here it is. In no uncertain terms, the Lord does warn people that, and I'm just saying this, you might as well, I didn't write this, God wrote this. Tear them apart and rip them to shreds for being contemptible towards the Lord. But then in contrast, the Lord states that those who offer praise glorify God. For those who haven't yet realized the importance of gratitude, praising the Lord brings glory to his name. We were created to glorify his name, Isaiah 43:7. And when we do that and we praise the Lord, we glorify him. So if we're created to glorify his name, and he's saying, hey, when you praise me, you're glorifying me. I mean, it's not a lot to put those together. His promise is to provide us with ongoing salvation, encompassing not just eternal salvation, but also salvation in current situations. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but the Lord has saved you. We talked about this yesterday. You have been saved. You are being saved. You will yet be saved. You have been saved. That's justification. That's the penalty of sin. You are being saved. That's your sanctification. That's the power of sin. You will be saved. That's glorification. That's the presence of sin. That's heaven. That's eternal life with the Lord in a new heavens and a new earth. But you have situations that happen now. And what the Lord promises is salvation in current circumstances, not just the only eternal one, which has been the penalty's been paid for, and we will be spending time dancing on streets of gold. But there is deliverance, grace, mercy, salvation for our circumstances. And when we praise the Lord in our circumstances, we offer him glory in those circumstances. And then I always hear people go, well, you can't always praise him. Okay, but this is what the scripture says, not what you say. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So in everything give thanks, for that's God's will. And when you do that, you glorify him. And when you do that, you're offering praise, you're offering faith, and God will deliver you. Bam! All right, your trivia question. I was the brother of John. King Herod had me killed. Who am I? Am I Peter, James, or Philip? I am James. That's who I am. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. If you are in San Diego, if you're in Denver, if you're in Detroit, just go to hemusincrease.org. Hit the listen live button and you'll be able to do that. If you're in Dallas, listening on the radio or the app from us or the app from the station, hang out. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. This is from our good friend Pastor Ray. He wrote this wonderful devotional called When Grace is Tangible. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. That's John chapter 1, verse 14. There is more to grace than I ever imagined. Now I'm going to stop you right there. So I was praying, this is in the last month, and I even wrote it down in my little journal, how I believe the Lord had communicated to me personally that I do not understand the depth of God's grace. So then this devotion comes. I'm like, oh, I just know the Lord's trying to teach me more. All right, let me back it up to what Ray says. There is more to grace than I ever imagined. We sing of amazing grace with the hope and longing that inspires people of all faiths and walks of life. Theologically, grace is defined as unmerited favor, a good, sound concept. But there is something more tangible about grace, something we can picture in our minds. God once told Moses, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Grace, as I discovered in the Hebrew language, is more than a favor granted in spite of our failings. When God says he will be gracious to whomever he chooses, he uses the word chanan, which adds a new layer of our understanding, because chanan means to show favor, mercy, to bend, or to stoop in kindness. God is not only granting favor and mercy, but the word picture is of him bending down to us in kindness, like a father getting down on his knees to embrace his children. There's even more to this picture. The root of the word chanan means to pitch a tent, to encamp, to abide, to dwell, to rest. There is more than God granting favor. He wants to dwell with us, to camp out with us. The God who is so very beyond us, not of this world, desires for his glory to abide with us and in us. God will be gracious to whomever he chooses, and he will come and live with them and dwell with them and camp out with them, whomever he chooses. And when it makes no sense to anybody else, it doesn't matter, even if it doesn't meet our standard of approval. The Almighty Lord desires to dwell with us, not just rule over us, certainly not to start a religion, but to love us and live with us in a tangible, real way, to show us the way, the truth, and the life. The ultimate experience of God bending down, listen to this, the ultimate experience of God bending down, stooping down to the ground to dwell amongst us is the incarnation of Jesus Christ.
The David Spoon Experience.